from CBS News Bay Area, this is the Afternoon Edition.
You don't have to do this. You do not have to do this. We're people too. We're people.
Right now in the Afternoon Edition campus showdown at UCLA. Police officers in riot gear clash with pro-Palestinian protesters. Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Yamamoto. Dramatic scenes out of Los Angeles overnight. Hundreds of officers moved in and broke down barricades and started to take down an encampment at UCLA after protesters defied orders to leave. And things quickly started to escalate. Law enforcement fired non-lethal rounds into the encampment and set off smoke grenades. In all, CHP says 132 people were arrested. The demonstrations are part of protests on college campuses happening nationwide against the war in Gaza. And it's catching the attention of President Biden, who addressed that situation this morning.
This isn't a moment for politics. It's a moment for clarity. So let me be clear. Peaceful protest in America. Violent protest is not protected. Peaceful protest is. It's against the law when violence occurs.
Back at UCLA, cleanup is underway this afternoon at the site where protesters were camped out. Bradley Blackburn is following the latest developments.
Loud bangs could be heard as police in riot gear moved in early Thursday morning and began dismantling the tent encampment on UCLA's campus, ripping apart the barricades that pro-Palestinian demonstrators set up. It came hours after police warned the protesters there would be arrests if people did not disperse. Hundreds were taken into custody, including this woman who identified herself as a UCLA senior.
You know, we have to challenge these systems of oppression so that we could free Gaza and free all peoples that are oppressed.
As daylight broke, police had the encampment cleared out, but protesters remained just outside the area.
The operation went well. We did take items were thrown at our officers. Fire extinguishers, smoke. However, the encampment was cleared in approximately 3 hours.
In the meantime, protesters and protests at UC Berkeley have remained peaceful since they began. So far, there have been no arrests. But continuing coverage on protests happening across college campuses, stay with us on air, on our website at kpix.com, and streaming on the free CBS News app. Okay, to Oakland now, where police are investigating a shooting. It happened around 7:30 this morning on Cherokee Avenue. Video from the scene shows a car being towed away. We spoke to a man who says his wife and daughter were in that car, were on their way to school when gunfire erupted.
My wife was on her way to drop my daughter off at school and was caught in the middle of a gunfight slash high-speed chase, and they basically T-boned her. People have no regard for other people. I mean, they literally jumped out of a car, jumped into another one, and sped off. My daughters and my wife were stuck in the vehicle. You know, they couldn't get out. Someone had to come and break the sunroof open to get them out.
Well, thankfully, the mother and daughter are expected to be okay. So far, no arrests have been made. And we're reporting on the issues plaguing the city of Oakland, but there is some good news in that fight against crime. First, the bad news, though. Robberies are up by 11% in Oakland in the first 4 months of the year compared to early last year. And here's the good news, though. Violent crime is down citywide. New data from the Oakland Police Department shows it decreased 33% in the first 4 months of the year compared to the same period a year earlier. But while certain types of crime are dropping on paper, many people in the city say they do not feel much safer. A restaurant worker in the Fruitvale District told us they have already had 2 break-ins this year.
Like, it just happens so regularly over time that we're not scared of it as much. We just kind of expect it somehow.
Oakland recently revived its ceasefire program. It includes a strategy to identify people who may be prone to committing violent crimes and then to bring in community leaders to intervene. Well, all month long, we feature stories highlighting culture and history and issues important to the Bay Area's AAPI community. I brought you the story of the rediscovery of a cache of photos taken back in 1942. This story aired last year. And those images showing the stoic faces of Japanese Americans just days before they were shipped off to internment camps. And after that original story aired, several people reached out saying they had recognized their family members. And this past month, 2 cousins from Chicago decided to make the journey to Northern California, all with the hopes of learning more about their family history.
It's like traveling back in time, an adventure these two cousins, Peggy and Candace, decided to make together.
Piecing together bits and pieces of what we know.
Flying in from Chicago to the Bay Area to make the long drive.
Just park here?
To Marysville, California. The journey taking them here.
Look at the field of yellow flowers.
To the Arboga Assembly Center Memorial, where in 1942, thousands of Japanese Americans were rounded up before being sent to the internment camps.
This is my mother. This is my mother. And this is my grandfather. And this is my grandmother.
The pilgrimage into their past, sparked by a story we aired last year.
These handsome young men.
On the rediscovery of these long-lost photos. Taken by a Marysville photographer named Clyde Bush, who unknowingly documented a piece of American history more than 80 years ago.
This is our grandfather.
This is our grandfather.
Okay. Kazuma Hayashi.
I saw the first video when my brother sent it to me.
He lives in San Francisco.
And he lives in the San Francisco area. He forwarded it to me, and then I looked at it and immediately spotted my mother.
Women.
Mom. There she is. I spotted her, and then I spotted my grandmother.
Oh, there she is.
Grandma. Grandma. And my brother was surprised because he had not spotted my grandmother.
So this is Grandma, and you notice she's all dressed up. She's got her suit on.
And for local historians, Sue Sendra Moyers and David Reed.
Every time we look at these, I feel like it's the first time.
It is a chance to help Peggy and Candace put the pieces of their past puzzle together.
Our grandfather, Hayashi, and there's a couple pictures. And then our grandmother.
There's two.
Grandmother, so husband and wife.
But also learn more about the faces in the photos that they keep.
That's my mother, and this is her good childhood friend, Himeko. Her mother was my mother's Japanese teacher.
Your mother's Japanese teacher. Well, I'm looking at a family's private history that needs to be shared because these are real people and this is what happened to them. And so that's the story we want to tell.
Well, it's been incredible just spending some time with them today and learning the backstory.
Right.
On some people that prior to this, prior to today, were just faces and a chain of negatives.
Yeah. This is our grandmother on our mother's side.
Nobuko Hayashi.
For Peggy and Candace, a chance to understand their own history and to pass it on.
If we don't pass it down, it's going to be lost, right? If we don't make the record, at least keep the record straight, get this information out, it's lost. And that's hard to think about.
Where they will return to Chicago, knowing their story is well preserved.
It's really something that they're being recognized, that what happened to them, it means something now.
Finding meaning by taking a journey into the past to help future generations understand today.
And both Candace and Peggy were hoping to identify even more family members, several aunts who were in their teens at the time, but only found four. Grandfather, grandmother, Peggy's mother, and her best friend.